Yeah, go for it.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of It's All Bad. I'm here with Mike.
Yes.
Yep.
I'm here
You're
with
Russian
Charlie.
Danny.
I almost said I'm here with Russian Danny.
You are here with Russian Danny.
Not a lie. That's not true.
That's not exactly. And Charlie.
I'm here as well.
Yep. Yeah.
This is part two of White Trash Chris and Nigerian Tokes.
Yes, this is
and fuck, man.
The return.
It's a huge episode. It reads like a syllabus of a drug college.
Yeah.
Right? Like a college course in drugs. let's call it we got junkie finishing school essentially.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We've got
the continuation schools.
Yeah.
Danny's experience in and out.
Yep. Yeah. We got Chris talking about meeting Freddie Mercury in Berlin.
On a lot of acid.
On a lot of LSD. We got...
Fuck, that's so cool.
I know. It's amazing. Fuck. We have...
Yeah, he totally underplayed that.
Met Freddie Mercury.
I know. Hung out with him. And on the total flip side of that, we have some stories, interesting stories about the KKK and Chris's adventures with them.
Uh-huh. More fireworks.
Yeah, more, yeah.
Yeah, more fireworks. And then what else? What is
we finish off this episode with philosophical hustling.
Exactly. Exactly. Tokes again on his masterclass on drugs. and then a little reminiscing of what Silver Lake used to be like.
Yeah.
Before
90s Silver Lake.
A bunch of millennials took a shit on it.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
Before there
I don't
was
want to be that guy.
Between there was a sweet green across the street.
Yeah, exactly.
From Motar. You know?
Yeah, I know.
Dude, so whack. so whack.
It is so whack. Right down the street from Dr. Martin's.
Yeah.
Like, we needed a Doc Martin's in the neighborhood. Come on. I can tell you right now, by the looks of the little green shoes that they're all wearing, that the fucking hipsters know where to find the Doc Martin's.
Yeah.
I have a good, quick Silver Lake story that I guess I could tell. You know, why not?
Do it.
Right?
Yeah. We're here.
We need it in. We're here.
So I was really into dumpster diving towards the end of my meth days, you know, and
it
I was with my
to the best
yeah,
of us.
Oh yeah, and I was with my ex-fiance Sasha, and we were dumpster diving around the Sunset Junction Silver Lake area, and we ended up and I would always like want to be like, yo, let's go hit a lick, you know, like, which like let's just go like steal something or rob, you know, or like let's go like break into this abandoned
or go just jack off. Yeah, it seems like those are the two things that means.
Not jacking off.
Yeah. Yeah,
or I'd be like, we'd get a bunch of meth in us and I'd be like, let's go find like an abandoned house and go fucking it, you know? Which was rad, you know? I'm getting excited thinking about it right now. And she would always be like, oh, I want to like go like find some stuff, you know? And I like, you know, really took a lot of pride in like being able to, like I was like a master dumpster diver, you know? So, but she would always try to one-up me. So this one night we're kind of by the Vista Theater and she's dumpster diving and she finds a bunch of art supplies. She's like, oh, look, I'm going to do all these crafts, you know? She was like a Annie Hardy type of tweaker where like it was all crafts and like she would make really cool clothes and what, like all those clothes I wore in that photo, like where it was me with the purple fucking, she made all of that, you know?
Okay.
Those weird glasses were as opposed to myself, who I was more of a crime, like let's
steely
get
steely kind of
steely. That was a steely kind of tweaker. Yeah.
Let's get crazy.
And this on this night, our crafts, you know, our skill sets kind of combined because she was going through this dumpster and she found a bunch of art supplies in it. And then next to the art supplies, there was a wallet, and in this wallet, there was a guy's ID and a bunch of credit cards.
Oh.
And I was like, "Yo, what up? Let's do this," you know. So. And the guy looked like me, which I was like, oh, dope. So we go on a little shopping spree, I think. And it was weird because it was like daytime, you know? So we went to like Crossroads and bought a bunch of, you know, back to the vintage clothing. And then we went somewhere else and we ended up, this was like right when Silver Lake Ramen opened.
Oh, okay.
Like first maybe week or so of their opening, you know? And we sit down and I invited my, you know, I was out like, I invited my drug dealer to come have this new ramen experience with us. It's Silver Lake Ramen, the hip new ramen bar. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
And we're sitting there and we get whatever, you know, and we go to we get the bill, you know, and obviously I'm going to pay for it on my newly found credit card, you know. So I bust it out and I put it in the thing and I'm like, oh, I got to go pee. So I go use the bathroom and get one in, you know. I like did a nice shot of meth, you know.
No way.
Yeah, because we're going to got to keep the night moving along. I just ate a bunch of fucking ramen, you know.
Brand, yeah.
And I come outside and the lady's like, hey, can I see your ID for the card? And I was like, well, duh. Of course you could.
Of course
could,
I
you
have
know?
My ID on me.
So I go to pull out the ID and I show it to her and she pulls it out of my hand and goes, ha ha, I knew it. And I'm like, what? You knew what? That this is my ID that matches up with the credit card that I just handed you? She goes, the owner of this place lost his wallet. And these.
No,
yes,
way.
Yes.
No.
Yes. So the owner of Silver Lake Ramen loses his fucking wallet or somebody. I mean, I don't know if like somebody stole it, but it was in a fucking trash can with all the credit cards and everything in there. You know, no cash in the thing. But none of the cards were shut off anything yet, you know? But like, I don't even know if he knew he lost it. So I go to the establishment that this motherfucker owns.
You could have gone anywhere else.
Anywhere else in the world.
Oh my God. No
and
way.
And we literally, I'm like, all right, we got to go. So we ran out of there and we like ran into the hills kind of. And I still had one more card that I had in my pocket, you know?
Yeah.
And I called this a cab, like right from, I don't know, like Elevado Street. We're like up, you ran up those little stairs, like into like the hills of Silver Lake.
Yeah.
I took a cab. We're like, just go as far as you can.
Fuck.
Yeah. That was like the, you know, and so that was already like kind of post Silver Lake gentrification, but
that
Silver
was
Lake
that
Ramen,
was the yeah, that was know. The that was when the wave was just like, oh, this isn't stopping.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been a while since I know everybody kind of talks about it like the last 10 years because it feels like so demonstratively, but I remember looking in the back of Vanity Fair and there was a map of like my neighborhood and the back, and it was like the guide to Silver Lake, the hippest new blah blah, you know, whatever. And it was 2000. This was a 2000 Vanity Fair, and I was like, fuck, it's over.
Like,
this neighborhood's over. But you know,
yeah,
whatever. I people gotta live places. Yeah.
Moved 2005 was when I moved to Sunset Junction.
And
I was renting a two bedroom guest house with a pool and jacuzzi for $13.50 a month.
Wow. A two-bedroom.
Two-bedroom with a fireplace in the living room. Dude, I mean, right now that
when
motherfucker's
when I moved into my one-bedroom, it was $900.
Yeah.
$900.
I mean, right now that motherfucker's probably going for $3,000.
Yeah.
Maybe
more.
If it's a two-bedroom. Two-bedroom. With a pool?
With the pool was shared. The pool and the hot tub was shared with the main house. You know?
Right. But it was a two-bedroom. Like
two-bedroom. Yeah. Yes.
And you had your own four walls.
Yes.
That's like $35,000 to $4,000. Like, you know, it's absurd.
Yeah.
It's absurd.
It was right.
On
was
Sunset
like,
Junction.
Right at Sunset. Like right with those stairs that go down to Manzanita. Yeah. Like on the bottom of the stairs to the left. Like those condos were just being built when we were living there.
Oh, wow.
I think that's why he was like, oh, I'm going to go a little cheaper because there's construction next door.
Yeah. Hey, listen, you know, I think about it all the time, and I know I always give the neighborhood beef, and it's partly because, you know, I've been here for a long time, and it's like you see changes, and, you know, they also more than anything else remind you about the changes that you've had in your life and how you're older now, and you're more gentrified now, and, you know, you're a little softer and a little bit more of an aging, someone who was a little bit more wild in their younger days, and it definitely conjures all that, but to say of across the neighborhoods in LA, it's still, I still would rather be here than a lot of others.
Oh yeah,
For sure.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. You know,
and especially Echo Park still keeping it pretty solid.
Echo Park, Angelino Heights, where I'm at now.
I love Angelino Heights.
No,
it's beautiful.
I love it.
It's beautiful.
Like, and especially right where I'm at, like right next to Bob's Market, you know, where they film.
Oh
the
yeah. Play. Yeah.
I'm across the street from Bob's Market. Where it's
With the brick joint?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. That's where awesome. It's like, I love that little area. It's like you're on living on a backlot studio.
Yeah.
It feels like you're kind of like, oh, this is the market building. And it's awesome.
It's so cool. Yeah. And there's like, that's where they shot all the fucking Fast and the Furious. That's like the little sandwich shop they go to. You know?
Yep. And it's super easy to get downtown.
Yeah.
And
it's so good. Yeah. But there's dudes that'll come and do donuts like in front of Bob's Market. You know,
no way.
To pay homage to the nerdiest.
So good.
All right. We should get into it.
Yeah. Let's get into it. Thanks for listening.
I mean, we've had it all.
had it all.
We've had it all, yeah. Not all, but
almost.
Almost. I had a friend that I had dinner with last night that told me, she was like, hey, I have a nephew who just started like getting into trouble. He's like, he's a senior, and he just got sent to continuation school. And she's like, so his mom like called me and was like, hey, well, you have some experience with this, you know? And she's like, maybe you could tell him some stuff. And she was like, you know what? I have some friends which have a podcast. Maybe he should listen to an episode of this.
Oh, good. Yeah.
And she played him the button episode, the smoke a button. Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah.
This kid, though, he's going to be mad because I'm going to dog on him. Are we recording this already? Yeah. Oh, man. Like, 12th grade is a little late to start becoming a troublemaker. Like, you're almost out of there, dude.
Yeah.
To downgrade.
Yeah.
You're almost.
That's what
free.
I asked. I was like, wait, what grade, you know? I was like, oh, continuation 12th? School, you know? Yeah, fuck. You made it that far.
Yeah, dude, you're almost out of the nut house, and then you downgrade yourself. It's kind of a shitty approach, bro. Not to judge you or anything. Oh, best of luck in your troublemaking career if you hear this.
Yeah.
You're kind of a late bloomer.
I took a lot of pride in like making the rounds in the continuation schools, you know?
Yeah.
Temescal Canyon, which was the Pali continuation school.
Oh, yeah.
Walt Whitman, which was the Fairfax continuation school.
Yes.
Uni had one that I went to for one day.
Nice.
One day I made it in a school. One day. Like, not even a whole full. And it's not like continuation school starts at like 9 and gets out at 12:30. You know, it wasn't even a long day. It wasn't even like a work day.
I'm a bullshit snobby African. I treated like continuation school kids like a leper colony. I was like, they're crazy. Don't go anywhere near that side of the field.
Wait, what was continuation school?
Bad kids.
Bad boys school? Yeah.
It's like when you got kicked out of your school, but not the school district, they would send you to a...
little hut on the other side of your school, like Walt Whitman's on the other side of Fairfax's athletic field. And it's not that big.
No. Yeah. It's like a bungalow. It's kind of like, it's like Leprosy Island, you know, where it's like...
Oh, but it's part of a school, regular school, too, right? Or well, it's no.
They have a program. They're not part of the high school at all. We don't handle at all.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. They never called it those fancy things back in the day. Like continuation school sounds almost prestigious.
Right.
You know, like, oh, he's going places. But like in the old day, it was just straight up the bad boy school.
Yeah.
My dad would be like, fuck around and you're going to have to go to the bad boy school. Mm. And we would drive by the bad boy school, you know, every once in a while. It was in Cranston and it was, I don't even know if it was operational at the time he was wielding those threats at me, but I think it was, and it looked like it was an old nunnery that they turned into a bad boy school.
Nice.
So it looked fucking grim. Like it was stone and old, moldy, like, you know, for a couple few hundred years, it was hideous. And I was like, that's the place? And I was like, that looks fucking worse than the ACI, you know? Like, that looks hard. And the Rhode Island ACI is no fucking joke. It's supposed to be a really, really bad prison. Surprise, surprise. There might be a little corruption in there. And I was like, oh no, I'm not going to fuck around and do that. He's like, every time we pass it too. And I was like, I'm not doing anything. He was predicting.
Yeah.
He was predicting. He's like, I see you, you little bastard. You're going to be a piece of shit one day. Maybe this will stick.
I ended up, continuation school does sound nice. I ended up at this
sounds
place.
Like finishing school.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. It's the MFA of high school. Yeah.
When was your debutante?
Yeah. I ended up, the last school I went to was, other than I went to a little college, you know, but the last school, like whatever grade school I went to was this place called the West Hollywood Opportunity Center. Another great name, you know?
Yeah.
Where opportunities come to fucking die. Yeah. There's no... It's... I'm sure everybody here has driven by it, walked by it. It's like those weird set of bungalows just south of Santa Monica on Fairfax. On like the southwest corner.
Yes, exactly.
Just south of Santa Monica.
Uh-huh. You've
on
seen it.
Fairfax. Yes. I know exactly what you're talking
those
about.
The tan bungalows. Yeah, uh-huh.
They're really light
skinned. Dude, it's like down the street from Jones.
Yeah.
Basically. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yep. Yep.
And so this was a place where it was like once you royally fucked up, like once the continuation schools wouldn't take you anymore and you were like kicked out of LAUSD, but you weren't like you didn't have the resources to get to like another school, they would put you here, you know? And it was like 6 through 12 maybe even more grades than that. And it was like when, like, let's say if you were like in juvie for a few years and you like paroled out or whatever, they would throw you in there. And it was like 6 through 12, but there was dudes that were like 21 that were still going to the school, you know? So like full on convicts that would go and would be in the same fucking seventh grade English class or whatever that you know, because I was in, I'll speak for myself, you know, because I was, and we would play Scrabble. And if you won, you would get 2 points. If you lost, you would get 1 point. And once you got 50 points, you completed a class, like a semester.
Oh, dope.
So if you lost 50 grams, games of Scrabble, you'd complete a semester.
You complete a semester.
Dope.
Yeah.
Wow. I try to win 25. That's what I'd be going for. So at least you were fucking with words, which is kind of cool. Yeah, they're like, they're focused on something.
Yeah. But to give you like a little context of how fucked this school was, there was this dude there. Everybody called him Chicano, you know, and he was like a dude. He like just paroled out. And he had like tattoos on his face, which kind of crazy for you're in high school and there's a guy that's like tattoos on his face, you know, all of his, everybody wore a uniform, but his stuff is like creased up, always ironed, always crispy, like that jail mentality, you know, like that jail mentality, street mentality.
Clean mentality.
Yeah, clean mentality.
I was ironing my clothes my first year of college, and then fucking bitches were coming in class in PJs, and I was like, fuck this, there's no point. I was waking up early in college, starching my pants.
Wow.
Like, I came from Fairfax, dog, with all gangsters and shit, bro. And kids at Occidental College were coming, girls were coming in PJs, and I was like, yo, fuck this. Like, these motherfuckers lost, bro. Like, I gave up on everything. You see, I'm a t-shirt and sweats guy now. Yeah. I definitely broke one day. And I was like, there's no point to living anymore.
So, Chicano.
Yes.
Mm. Face tattoos, you know, in like whatever grade we were in, you know, and
seventh
grade, yeah. Before school, there's that 7-Eleven that's like right on Santa Monica, just, you know, that one next to the Los Burritos or whatever, so we go to 7-Eleven, and I just remember I'm inside and I'm buying like a hot dog, because that's what you do when you're in fucking high school. You're gonna eat a hot dog at 7 a.m. Put nacho cheese on and fucking salsa on the hot dog at 7 a.m. Yeah. Pro tip.
Cali dog.
It's a Cali dog. I was just gonna say that. Oh god.
Like, so gross.
It is so, so true.
So I'm getting one of those, and I see Chicano get into a tussle with a dude who apparently was like a blood that was also in the school. Mm-hmm. And he just got out, and Chicano just got out. And he was there before, and then like something would happen, he would go away, and then he would come back and be like, welcome back with open arms, you know? And I just see them kind of talking back and forth, and he looks away, turns around, gets a number 2 pencil, and jabs it in the dude's neck.
Oh.
Now, just to paint a picture, Chicano did not run. He did not hop on a number 4 bus to go somewhere else.
Away from it,
He walked inside to the cafeteria, sat down, and ate whatever breakfast items they had served that day, you know, drank a milk carton.
Fuck yeah.
The police came and asked the dude at 7-Eleven, hey, who did this to you? He goes, I don't know. Street, right? Respect. And then Chicano was taken away after they reviewed
Because if you rat, you do survive.
Oh, yeah.
He's not going to miss the second time.
Yeah.
Eep.
And but a few months later, Chicano came back to school, you know, and he was welcomed back with open arms yet again, you know. Yeah.
But the theme was school, because he used the number 2 pencil.
Yes.
So he had his mind on education.
Yeah.
I figured he was near the lottery thing is where he got a sharpened number 2
pencil. Yeah. One of those small pencils. Yeah. That's why he didn't kill him. One of those ones you get for free. God. Golf pencil.
Yeah. Amazing.
Golf pencil. Yeah. That was the last high school I went to.
Shit, man. It's amazing.
Yeah.
I feel like those are the names they give those schools so the taxpayers pay for them.
Oh, yeah.
Like all those fancy names make them so taxpayers don't. Like,
yeah, they sound hopeful. So you can write the check out to the Opportunity Center, not the continuation school.
Not the bad boy ACI shit.
Give some money to the bad boy school.
Well, they're federally funded, so you can write like retards on the side of the building.
Oh, my goodness.
There's not one fucking success story out of any of that.
Never.
Never.
I'm always hopeful, man.
Yeah.
I'm the. Oh, it's I'll all
tell you
good
what.
Guy.
I'll tell you what. Yeah. Chicano never fucking. Yeah, that motherfucker.
No, for sure. Yeah. Well, the guy didn't snitch. Well, he went to prison. He went back.
My last day, I'll share with you real quick what my last day at the school was.
Did you win at Scrabble?
Yes, I won. Yeah,
25 or 50 games.
Yeah. How long were you there? Games. Did you get out early because of good Scrabble scores?
I was there for a while, and this is funny. Where like you were telling me about like the whole thing with like your drug dealer dude, like you know, where he like fronted you, whatever.
Yeah.
And you were like, "Oh, this is a bad idea," you know.
Oh, tell him don't do this. Yeah. I'm a full-on addict now.
So I'm like 16, 17, and there was this dude there who was another graffiti guy.
Yeah.
And he was like, you know, we smoked weed at the time. We like to smoke weed. And it was right when Pretendo came around.
Oh, God.
Which was like not chronic.
Yes.
But it wasn't stress.
$40 an ounce.
Yeah. It was like green. A bright green. And it didn't
not
have
too many seeds.
Yeah.
Oh, I remember the Pretendo days. I sold a lot of that shit.
And he was like, yo, my cousin's got a bunch of Pretendo.
Fuck yeah.
You know people, you can sell it, you know? And I was like, I could, you know? I'm the guy, I could sell it. And we went to his cousin's house, and he was like, hey, I'm going to tell you, this guy means business, you know? And I was like, okay, so do I, you know? Yeah. Fuck, that's why I'm taking four buses to get to fucking God knows where.
Yeah.
And we walk in, and his cousin's like one of the scariest dudes to this day I've ever seen, you know? Just like super fucking jacked, just like shirtless, like shiny, you know, like the shiny guy, like
he's working out, doing burpees,
like the guys
day.
You saw in fucking in you know Frankfurt or whatever.
Yeah,
you know?
Prison physique going. Yeah,
but like prison dude, you know, like prison tattoos, but not like the shitty ones where it's like the you know
all
like
connected.
He's done like this dude has done the tour. I later found out the dudes would get busted to get tattooed by certain guys, which is like, oh, there's a really good tattooer in there, so they would commit a crime to go, and he was like one of these guys.
Yeah, dude.
And we walk in, and he was like, all right, this is what I got, this is how much I need for it, like my cousin vouched for you, so you're good. I'm gonna front you as much as you want, but I'm gonna tell you right now, I know where you live, like this is your address. The dude gave him my address. Oh, yeah. Like, you know, he's like, this is what's up, I'm gonna show you what's gonna happen to you if you don't pay me. And he like busted out like a sawed off shotgun and something else, and showed me his like artillery. And I was like, oh, wow, this guy does mean business, you know? And he gave me a half a pound of this fucking Pretendo, you know, maybe more. I don't know. It was a lot, you know? It was like.
Was it a garbage bag?
It wasn't it fit into a JanSport bag.
Awesome. Okay.
Or an East
bag. That was
a good
amount.
I couldn't afford a JanSport. It was an East bag.
Yes. PAK, baby.
Yeah, I was like to say, where are you going over to Wesleyan to sell these drugs? I'm here at my JanSport.
But it was like to the point where it barely zipped, you know? Like, and I was like, oh, man, I made it. You know, it was more weed than I'd ever seen at that age.
Backpack full?
Yeah. And I brought it home, and I went and I showed all my homies, and I sold a little bit of it.
I'm sorry.
And then I was like, you know what? Fuck that guy. Fuck his cousin. To me, it was more important to be cool guy that had like a plethora of fucking weed that we could all smoke. And I just didn't go back to school. I was like, well, fuck it. You know, yeah, you know where I live, but you know, I like kind of like Chris, like I didn't give a fuck.
Who cares?
You know? Yeah, who cares? Come find me. Yeah. Never did.
Better surprise.
Nothing ever happens. There's so much of this shit going around. You can always make your money. Yeah.
What was your weapon of choice?
Yeah.
I like everything except heroin.
Yeah.
Lots of LSD.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice.
I did 32 hits once.
Fuck.
It was great. I met Freddie Mercury, this giant gay bar in Frankfurt, and then I ended up at some fucking socialist democratic some shit y'all just people was with fucking rally the next day. They were trying to get me to join. I'm like, yeah, I'm a soldier in the U.S. Army. We're kind of not really into your shit. Like, we're kind of violently opposed to
like,
it.
But you're cool.
I hung out with them for like 8 hours. But yeah, no, I like acid.
Fuck yeah.
Coke. Acid.
Yeah.
Mescaline.
Yeah.
I don't like downers.
Yeah.
I like to see what's going on. Meth.
Meth is all bad.
Not unless you're doing crafts.
That low is so shitty.
Oh yeah, the low.
That's
is
how they
cute.
Get you. That low is so bad.
Mm-hmm. But the meth, when you crash on meth, it's not bad. If you put one grain of cocaine in the human body, like smaller than a pinhead, physically you're open up to go through a physical depression in the next 30 days. That's just common in cocaine. But you don't get that in meth. That's why guys on meth aren't suicidal. Guys on coke, after a while, they're just like, they're thinking.
Oh, shit, really?
Oh, yeah. That's just a physical byproduct of it.
Oh, shit.
It's like drinking red wine and your breath smells like shit. It's a side effect. We used to take a lot of drugs in the South. I don't know what they are. It used to be called like peanut butter tea, crystal tea. I have no idea what it was, but you shoot it, powder. No idea what it was, but it was great. I've shot like liquid MDMA before. That shit was great. Then I think I got turned into ecstasy, and I'm like, whatever. I've already been to the bottom of that well. You can't top that.
Yeah. I like all of it. Rocks?
Yeah.
Which one?
It's just Moon all Rocks. The same. Yeah, Moon Rocks was like another form, you know.
I couldn't sell it. I had to phase out of it.
Yeah.
Because it was like white, creamy powder at first, like creamy colored, like beige. Then it was purple.
Beige.
And then it was like purple rocks. And I'm just like, there's beige. No standard. Yeah. There's no standard to hold this to. Like, if people go with this, and that's the dumbest question you can ask a fucking drug dealer. They don't fucking know. Unless they're making this shit, you know, and they're not usually making this shit. Is it good? You know what I'm saying? Like, all I could like rely on is I'm going to this person. He's giving me this thing. When it looks like this, I get good reports. And Molly changed like in like 3 different ounces. It changed into 3 different forms. And I was like, I can't sell this. Like, I can't speak on it.
Right. Because it's like if to speak on it, you have to take that Molly.
Well, it has to be consistent. The same thing.
It has to be consistent. Right.
Now it's purple crystals. What the fuck are we doing? Yeah.
Sounds pretty good to me. I don't know.
I like consistency.
It's all the DIY.
Oh my God.
Crafters. Yeah. The crafting generation.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
So you were in the military.
Yeah.
And you met Freddie Mercury.
Oh, yeah.
That's intense.
Well, I used to buy acid in this giant gay bar in Frankfurt because we would buy sheets of 4-way blotter acid.
Yeah. Mm.
So we would buy, because nobody in the army would leave the barracks. So I'd go out, buy it. Sell it back in the barracks, make 10 times my money.
Yep.
But I remember just kind of trying it. I love acid. And I looked down after a while, and I was like, oh, there's 8 squares gone. And I was like, 8, 16, 30. I was like, oh. And I told my buddy, I'm like, oh, Mark, I've done a lot of acid. And, Freddie Mercury came in. I don't know if they were doing Radio Gaga, some promotion.
Oh, shit.
But he came in. And the guy I was with was the chaplain driver at the unit I was stationed at, who was the gayest dude on earth, like gayer than Paul Lynde on Bewitched. Just like, but, you know, and apparently they had like, you know, I was surprised. Like, I met so many gay dudes in the army, and I'm like, oh, I didn't know they had these in here. It was already weird. I met Puerto Ricans. Where I grew up, it's black and white.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
I'd never seen an Asian person, nothing, where I'm from. I'm from. Did you see that movie Glory?
No.
With Denzel Washington.
Yeah, and
so that movie is set where I'm from.
Yeah.
And that battle happened after the battle before that, where the freed Union black soldiers freed the slaves. Like, I'm from that island, not nearby or down the road.
Oh, man.
So, helicopter, transportation in the future. Yeah. So I met Freddie Mercury, and my buddy was like, I'm going to marry him. And I'm like, I was so high. I'm like, you can't marry a man. So we ran down there. He was surrounded by all these bodybuilders. We got in, and I was like, wow, we're going to get our ass beat. Like, I've had my ass beat, and I've beaten plenty of people's asses. But I was like, man, these guys are huge bodybuilders. Before bodybuilding was cool, it was just giant German dudes. In little like shorts and wife feeders.
Tom of Finland.
And yeah. Like, but big. Yeah. I was like, oh, they were all pink. Pretty sure they were all white dudes, but they were kind of sweaty and pink.
My nightmare.
So high. Yeah, mine too. And Mike, the gayest dude in the world, like drags me in the, excuse me, we need to see Freddie Mercury. And, like, got us in the middle. And we met him. He was nice, but I was so high. But his giant, beautiful teeth. But he's British. And I'm like, because British dudes don't sound British when they're singing rock and roll.
Nope. No.
They sound American.
Or blues.
But in person.
Yeah.
It was just like, wow, he's British. And he was gay as shit. And I'm like, well, my buddy Mark likes you and he wants to marry you, but we're in the army and we have a lot of work to do during the week. So I don't know how that's going to happen, but I like your music and thank you. And that was it. And, you know, Mark, then we left. But I remember it was the
That's
night
good wingman
Blue Monday came out from New Order.
No way.
They played that, yeah, because I bought two copies of it that night. It was so high.
So it was like 1982 or something. I don't 83, know. Yeah.
One of those. The 80s.
Wow. Yeah, early 80s. I bought 80s.
I have a lot of 12-inch singles. Yeah.
Wow.
I just lived in the clubs in Germany. Nobody in the army went to clubs. There were a few of us. We all looked like fucking backup dancers in Depeche Mode. It was great. But yeah, we'd go up there and buy LSD. Frankfurt had a lot of drugs. I remember the first time I ever saw junkies. They call them fixers over there. And I'd see people with fucking shooting up between their toes and their hands in the red light district. Yeah. I remember my buddy was pointing out. I was like, God, that looks weird. Like, I'd stopped shooting drugs, like, for 5 or 6 years at that point. But it was weird seeing that. I'd never been to a city. I'd never seen anything with more than 3 stories. So to be in Frankfurt was fucking, like, going from Kansas in a tornado to the Wizard of Oz. And was like, this is cool.
Yeah.
Yeah,
were you
great.
Born? Were you born on the island you're yeah. from as well?
Well, I was born at the military base at Fort Jackson.
Okay, and then you were, and then you grew up on this island.
Yeah,
and in that is that a military base on that island? Is
no,
that
no, no.
Okay, it's just a
70 island. Miles up.
Copy that. And what was that like growing up on an island? Like, how did you find?
Awesome.
How did you find trouble? I know. It's
he burned it.
I was trouble. White yeah. trash.
Yeah, yeah.
All my family was in the Klan, and I tried to join it one time, shit. And they wouldn't let me in, so I started burning all their meeting halls down.
Wait, why would they not let you in?
They were just like, there's something wrong with you. Like, you're too fucked up.
Oh, shit. Yeah. Wow. Okay, they have standards.
Yeah.
And so you wound up burning down Klan meeting halls?
Yeah.
Oh shit!
That's,
wow,
wow, that's great. So unintentionally,
I was lonely. I wanted like, friends. Like they wouldn't let me join.
You're
I was like
perfect
fuck it.
For it. You know how to make fire.
Yeah, yeah. I locked a bunch of them inside one time and set it on fire.
Fuck. How did you get away with all this shit?
I don't know. I never ran away. I never went anywhere. Like I'm an evil motherfucker.
It's amazing.
I used to be.
Yeah,
but I can still tap into it if somebody tests me.
Wow.
Yeah, I just don't like people telling me no. Like, oh, you can't come in. I was like, yeah. All right.
Fuck knows.
Well, you're welcome here anytime.
I remember the first place I burned down. I saw a bunch of those dudes like that week at the beach. Shit. I was like, hey, how'd your meeting go last night? Like, oh, we didn't have it. I was like, where's the next one at? And they got it. Because I just look at them like, all right, guys, fuck wow. it. I'm going to join a club. I joined the swim team instead. It was fine. It was awesome. Good. Yeah, but it's weird where I grew up. Bad.
Yeah.
Like when you kill people, when people are asking around, the feds or somebody comes around looking for somebody, and you just hear someone go, oh, I heard they moved to Florida. You know they're dead. Because alligators migrate to Florida from South Carolina. In the winter.
Oh, shit.
So they when moved. You fucking kill somebody, you just chop them up, feed them to the gators.
And they move.
And then they move to Florida. And you do not fucking ask about Billy ever again.
Snowbirds.
Yeah.
Snugs.
Oh, I heard he moved to Florida. Great. Let's go surfing.
Fuck. Well, you know, some people don't know how to... You know, like stay away from trouble. I mean, you know, if yeah,
I was trouble.
Yeah,
I'm like Danny.
Yeah,
you're just like whatever.
Yeah,
yeah,
shit's gonna happen or it ain't. Like, there's always a fucking mop handle or a car antenna around. Like, there's nothing you can't get out of.
Is that and that was your thing, right, Chris? Is that's interesting to me. That attitude is very interesting to me, and that like that it would be like, fuck it, come find me.
Yeah.
Because what's the worst thing that's going to happen? Yeah, is it just about a fearlessness of death? Or no, or a belief that no one's got the balls to do it in the first place?
Yeah, life's too busy. I'm not that important.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think for me it was like I just don't give a fuck.
Yeah. You
know? Who cares?
Why be bothered?
Yeah, all right, yeah. You know. Hey, if it happens, it happens. Like yeah. I've gotten my ass beat so many times.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, oh, you know, like I had a point where I told a friend, I was like, hey, I'm not gonna do heroin anymore. We're just gonna stick to, you know, he like picked me up from LA County Jail, got released, and he was like, well, you can't do this anymore. And I was like, I'm not gonna do heroin. If I do it, I give you the rights to beat my ass, you know?
Cue the police helicopter.
Yeah, right.
Wow. Are you going to leave this in? Don't edit this out. So everyone in the house can just listen.
This is a beefy one right here.
Oh, yeah. Man. The guy who invented the helicopter, one of your Russian guys, Sikorsky, after he started selling these things, some mathematicians are like, we've mathematically proven that a helicopter can't fly. And he's like, yeah, I was never really good at math, but
thanks for telling me.
Yeah.
So.
Where was I? Oh, yeah.
Pretendo. So I told, yeah. No. Beaten up. Uh-huh. Picked up out of jail.
So
and, no and more he heroin.
Was, yeah, it was the same dude. It was the fucking
the musket guy.
The musket guy.
The gloves. Mr. Gloves.
And he was like, all right. He's like, he picks me up from county jail. He's like, all right. He's like, I know what it is. He's like, it's the clothes you've been wearing. They've got bad juju, you know?
Of course.
You know, I was like, wow, you might be honest. I mean, he's like, we're going to like burn those clothes. You know, I'm going to give you some of my clothes. And he gave me like some 3XL basketball shorts and like pro club t-shirt, some Air Maxes, you know, which I never fucking dread. You know, I was like, like an idiot right now, but okay. Yeah. And he was like, he's like, and you got to quit doing that dope, you know? And I was like, all right. No more heroin. We're just going to strictly smoke meth. I'm not going to inject any drugs and I'll be good. Like this is totally, I'll do the best I've ever done. You know,
it's a hell of a plan.
It was a great plan at the time. Exactly. Yeah, it was amazing.
I'm in.
Yeah. And a few months later, I think I've told the U-Haul story. You know, the U-Haul story. So that girl, I'm helping her move and we start smoking heroin together secretly behind his back. Cause I'm still selling heroin the entire time, you know, but just not doing it. Yeah. And then, he picks me up one day because I'm getting the drugs from him to sell, you know, and he picks me up and he takes me to like a vacant lot and it's me, him, and this other dude from like a neighborhood that will rename unnamed.
Yes.
That I've talked about before. And we stand there and he goes, hey, what you got in your pockets? And I was like, well, he's not going to rob me, you know, because if he wanted to rob me, he like what everything in my pockets belongs to him, including his stupid fucking 3X basketball champion basketball right, short. Right. Yeah. So he's like, what did you got? He's like, put everything on the table, you know? And I was like, okay. And I put it on the table and he goes, you know what's going on, right? And I'm like, I'm like, no, I have no clue. And then the dude from the neighborhood just like clocks me in the back of the head. And then he starts beating me. And I'm like, oh, I told him that if I start doing heroin to beat my ass, you know?
Yeah.
And he's just like, so they're both just going in and going in. And I like hit the floor and I stand back up. And then again, bam, bam, bam. Like now I'm like bleeding from the nose and I hit the floor again and I stand back up. Yeah. And then bam, bam. Then my, you know, like my lip is now busted, you know? And he just looks at me and like I hit the floor and I'm about to stand up again. He goes, motherfuckers, stay on the floor. Like, are you, what's wrong with you? You know? Yeah. And I'm like, oh wow.
Yeah. Yes. You know? Too many rules. Yeah. Yeah.
But it's very simple. I mean, like it was, everything to me is a straightforward transaction. That's all I need in life. Yeah. It's like, he said, if you do this, this will happen.
Yeah. I'm the one that asked him to do this, you know?
And it's so merciful of him to say, details. Stay down.
Yeah. And the entire time I'm like, I can't wait till these fuckers stop beating my ass so I can go fucking, you know, it's going to help the fucking pain of this black eye and the bumps on my head. Yeah. Just a little bit of dope, you know, just
I'm going to get my ass beat by the cops in Long Beach, handcuffed. Oh, man, they beat my fucking ass. Like, they almost put me through a wall, and I was like, whatever, they're going to have to stop eventually. They're going to get tired. I did not care. I didn't feel any of it. None of it. They let me go, took me to the police station. They let me go there. I went right back to this crack house, walked in. The guys were like, what are you doing back here? Like, I told you, I was just here fixing this chick's TV. They said they'd get my jacket because I'd left my pipe when they picked up my jacket. I just saw my pipe fly through the air in slow motion. Like slow-mo, yeah. 2001 A Space Odyssey. Went there, got my fucking jacket, got my crack pipe. Left, went across the street. Oh, man. I was sore like 5 days later. Yeah, I was like, man, this dude's punched the shit out of me.
Just, I always feel like this, all this bullshit with black and white, like not race, but like, it's like good and bad, like per the laws. Like you do this, you're a bad person. You do this, you're a good person. It's like, I come from Nigeria where like, I never dealt with racism. I come to America where I'm thinking like, oh my God, I'm excited. Like when I came, it was like 92 and everyone's wearing like the Africa fucking medallions. And I got the most shit here for being African. And then dealing with like racist cops from when I was a teenager. And it's just funny when I got in the drug trade, whether it was Armenians, whether it was Russians, whether it was Latino people, it was like, because I'm down to try people's food.
Yeah.
Very polite, whatever. Where are you from? You're not American. I'm from Nigeria. Oh, you guys have a great soccer team. Oh, what's that like? And I got the most like genteel, what I think is sophisticated one-on-ones or just group chats with fucking people that everyone says is bad. When I'm like, I'm trying to eat because I can't fucking keep a job. People are always fucking with me. And these people are feeding their families. And like, these motherfuckers, if you show up with... This is the thing. I give you this, you give me money, and you do this every time, and it's like, cool, then we're good, you know? And just like the civility of it all is what I think I liked. It's just like all the random places you'd end up with, like a guy, Latin dude in a fucking Versace anchor shirt, fucking riding horses in Compton. You're just like, yeah. I would go on like real life adventures. It was always some screwy random shit.
Yeah.
And, you know, with like what I thought were like, so I put them in a gray area.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're doing something bad, but this shit is never going anywhere. It's always going to happen.
And you've tried to have traditional jobs.
I've tried. And it'd be like someone fucking with me and I get mad. It's like, we don't do that here. Like, I remember one time I had an internship at Sun America, Eli Broad. I was like prepped to be like this, like preppy fucking idiot, like corporate bullshit kid. And someone asked me, so what do you think? And I was like, well, I was doing some bullshit fucking task. Like, it was like collating documents, like scanning mail and collating it and filing. And I was like, yeah, this shit is tedious, whatever, it's boring. And the person that was babysitting me for the internship overheard this, cubicles over, and straight out of fucking Office Space or whatever, caught me for a one-on-one in the lunchroom. And it's like, ooh. Hey, so, you know, when you expressed yourself and you said like you weren't having fun, like, you know, that's not what we do. What the fuck? Like, I was just being straightforward. I didn't know this is some fucking bullshit like thing. Like, I just said it was whatever I was doing was like, you know, it's just like, you can't express to yourself.
Those TPS reports are important.
Yeah.
You know, fucking hell, you know, like, so I always knew it was never for me. Like, I pride myself every day. I don't have to wear a suit and tie is my life now. What else did I know? Like, okay, same fucking job. Some screwy middle-aged woman's trying to get me to do Amway fucking day. It's like, fuck these people. Like, they're crazy and boring. You know, like,
no,
soap.
Sure. Like, you're in a cult. I don't know what this Amway shit is, but you're crazy. Like, it's some bullshit Ponzi scheme. I'm 15 and I know you're doing some bullshit. It's a Ponzi scheme before I knew what a Ponzi scheme was. But I was like, I have to pay money to sell some shit. You want me to come to a meeting? It's like, no. Like, it's just like, no. Yeah. So corporate never. Jobs, like, it's just funny. People would fuck with you. And you, like, I have a manager that's hitting on every fucking girl. So I'm doing all the work. And I'm just like, yo, this isn't cool. Oh, you're fired because, you know, I'm Lothario. This is my land. You know, it's just like, so jobs never really panned out for me.
Copy that.
Yeah.
Me neither. That's why I'm in advertising.
You know, it's funny. People for years would like try to. I was that guy. Let me pick your brain. Let me pick your brain. Let me pick your brain. And I finally was like, you guys are moving up in this like agency world. Can I get a job? Oh, they're not looking right now. Oh, you know, like, and I remember when I started going, oh, pick my brain. Can we monetize that? I guess I'm consulting, right? Those phone calls stopped. That's been great. It's been great. Yeah. Corporate people are just a weird, weird group to me.
That understatement of the year. It's an interesting culture.
This is how I feel. Is like, we're held to so many rules and standards, and I'm like, dude, we shit in water. Like, I don't respect anything we're doing on this planet right now. It's like, we should be worshiping water. So I feel like, just do whatever, dude. Like, as long as you're not hurting kids or, like, I don't know, doing really fucked up dark shit, you know. But people are definitely doing all that shit, you know. And there's systems and checks and balances out in the world, whether on the police side or on the street side, you know, or karma. But like, fuck it, go for it. Like, at the end of the day, like, there was a shitty thing I went through childhood where at the end of the day I was like, okay, so I go through that and I go to sleep. When I wake up, it's a reset, and whatever happens, happens. And that's how I look at everything. It's like, I'm just passing through. I don't have kids. I've tried my best not to have kids. I'm not worried about, you know, being taken care of when I'm older. I'm just passing through. And I think, like, the basic grid of this is not good. Whatever systems we've put on this planet is not worthy of, like, really respect all the way. So I'm not trying to leave a mark, like create a movement or anything. I'm just passing through. So my thing is I want to eat. I want to be able to drink my shit. I want to be able to smoke my smoke. And whenever I go, I go. And just my thing is try not to fuck over people. And I just, you know, my code is my code. And I just try to live by that. And that's all I got. And I'm very like, if shitty shit happens, well, shitty shit happened. And you get to go to bed, hopefully, and, you know, do whatever you do to make the pain fucking go away. I don't know how you do it now, but like, yeah, like it's just fucking,
keep waking up.
Yeah, exactly. Take a fucking cold dip in a fucking cold bath. You know, like whatever, you know, just try to make sure that you are taking care of self is my thing. And not really trying to fuck over people too much.
And pooping in water.
Dude, we're so fucking shitty. Like, we should be worshiping this shit. Like, this is why I'm like, humanity, we don't get it. We don't fucking get it. You know, like, we shit in water. And this is what makes the modern world better than the third world. You know, like, Bill Gates is trying to help Africans figure out how to have, like, you know, sanitary conditions. Like, we are one fucking linen suit away from fucking being savages. Like, it's just like, I don't respect the grid, that whatever it is we formed with the way that, like, money inequality and fucking race and all that shit, it's all stupid. And so I'm just like, yeah, everyone just try to make the best you can. You see opportunity, fucking grab it. Just try to live your life. Try to do good, you know? So it's cool that some kids can play basketball and sing really good, you know? And that's how, and it's cool. You're creative, and that's how you get out of it. Cool, you know?
While you're here, you know? Let me entertain you.
You know? Like, this is why entertainment's so huge, because we're living in a fucking shitty reality is where I see it, that we can't move past that. Even guns. I look at fucking guns. I'm just like, we've only made this shoot metal faster. Like, where's the fucking ray guns? Like, we're not that tight. Like, we're really not that
They're
tight.
They're working on it. There's some shit coming.
Yeah, put this on top of Suburban. You can shoot 1,700 rounds a minute. Like, just that.
It's called a Gatling gun.
Yeah, you know? It's just like,
those are effective.
Yeah, we're not that tight. So this is why I don't respect whatever is going on this planet. Pretty much that's my main beef with Earth.
What do we do with the poop?
Fucking burn it. I don't know. Put it in sand. Like, why are we putting it in water? Like, this is the dumbest shit.
Yeah, it seems dumb.
It's dumb as fuck to me.
I mean, you put it in sand. I don't know if that's going to be cute. But
putting it in the ocean with it. He's swimming yesterday? Yeah.
We could burn it.
Felt great.
Yeah.
Hey, it wasn't my first time swimming in shit.
Right, from now on, for sure. That's it, Charlie. From now on, here at the office, we're burning up. I like it.
Hot turds.
It's a nice fire pit right there.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
No, that's a fountain, but we could turn that into we could turn that. We could, yeah, oh exactly. We could turn that
Trust
into.
Trust me, anything burns.
Yeah, exactly. Keep Chris around, and we'll just have a steady fire going out here, and then we could just throw the crap on it. We got this. I get it.
It's just crazy to me. Like, this is the government you want me to respect. It's like, you haven't come up with good shit for us to live on this planet well, you know? And so, yeah, I feel like I don't throw stones at anybody, man. Like, everyone's doing what they can do, what they understand, and what they have access to.
Yeah. Some people are doing the best they can.
Yeah.
Some people aren't trying at all.
No. And I don't even fault them. You know, like, the happy grasshopper was happy.
I fault them. I mean, okay. I think... Whatever, we all know what the thing is, right? Everybody recycles and they think they've done their part, and it's just an absolute myth. Yeah. And at the end of the day, it's like it's us versus massive corporations who are polluting on a scale that's pretty fucking hard, you know? Unless you're that naked dude on PCP outside their office with that fire extinguisher, maybe that might help.
Dude,
I don't
give 100 guys PCP and fire extinguishers and send them into that office.
That's right.
Yeah, they don't behave right.
Yeah, exactly. We're here to see Lee.
Not a group you can leave. Yeah. It's a one-on-one thing. Yeah.
That's because I got a pirate gun. Yeah.
There's naked men with fire extinguishers walking very slowly to the security desk. So I play music. I enjoy that, and it pays bills. It's not going to buy me much property anytime soon, but it's pretty dope to like share joy. Music has always been a thing, so it's nice to do that. So that's where I'm at. That's all good.
You got any shows coming up? Any nights anywhere?
I have my radio.
Anything you want to plug?
No, I'm not plugging anything. All right, cool. I have the radio show, 101.5 LPFMA, LPFM.LA. And I do Tuesday nights from like 11 to midnight. But I mean, it's a dope local radio show. So right now we don't have sponsors. And everyone's like, all the DJs are kind of in charge right now, which is not how radio works.
Yeah, yeah, right,
so
right.
Everyone's like on their punk shit, on like queer punk, regular punk, punk, punk. My punk includes Public Enemy. Then there's a reggae show. And I just play like African High Life or whatever the fuck I feel like. So a lot of psychedelic shit. But it's not regular radio yet. So it's like a baby radio station. So it's actually fun to listen to.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, yeah.
What is it again? Tell
it's LPFM.LA is how you can stream it. It's 101.5 out of Boyle Heights.
So oh, word.
Yeah,
okay.
So it's pretty local. But right now, I know that's not how radio works because there should be a program director, music director, like getting all the new music and creating.
Oh,
like,
yeah, this will not last, especially especially if it catches on. The great thing is, is yours, if it's successful, that ensures its demise.
The inmates are definitely running the asylum, and it's fucking good. Like, we had a meeting with the board, and I was like, everyone thinks they're a superstar. It's a fucking radio show. You get to play music, and right now you have no idea. They're going to, once the sponsors come in, you're going to have to buck up and play with the PD. Like, there's no program director. So I'm like reading up and trying to get libraries and trying to learn how to listen to new shit because maybe I can use that to move up. Because like people were like, you should be in radio. You should sing. So like I'm like, fuck. Like, so I started reading articles on like how PDs and music directors work so I can try to slide up in there. Because right now it's definitely like everyone's being, it's really indie right now. It's really real. Like everyone can come and do their thing, which is not how jobs work. But it's all volunteer, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But once that money starts coming in, it's going to change. And I don't think a lot of these kids realize it. So, yeah. God, that was so hood in the 90s.
Dude.
Oh. Walking through Silver Lake in the 90s, these kids have no idea.
No.
I came in 92 to America, dude, from Nigeria. And I lived on Rampart by Lafayette Park Place.
Oof.
And, dude, I dealt with guys that lived in the hills by, like, La Perilla, wherever that is. On Sunset, up in the hills there. And I had to walk from 3rd and Lafayette. And I was like, hey, it's not my name. Like, fucking face to the pavement and march where you're going. That area was just shit.
Yeah,
yeah, you didn't know if a dude, somebody hollers at you, you don't know if they're trying to blow you or rob you.
Yeah,
or rob you and then blow you or blow you and then rob you. Yeah,
neighborhood was totally different.
Blow you and pay you.
Yeah.
Come on, take this money.
What?
Stop it, mister.
Sunset Junction. I remember when I went to my first Sunset Junction concert, I was like, oh my God, this is like a nice concert with fucking Morris Day and the Time.
Dude, I was at that show. I was at that concert.
Crazy. And I,
what is it, 94? Around 94, 95, maybe?
Man, I don't remember a lot.
Yeah, that's okay. I moved here in 90. I moved back, and then I came back here in 94, moved to Silver Lake.
No. This was like 2004.
Oh.
2005, maybe?
Oh, but Morris Day had played more than once.
Yeah, yeah.
You know
that
I
was
mean?
A great festival.
I went to jail for nothing after that.
So good.
Was that Sunset Junction?
Dude. Yeah. And in the early 90s, it was fucking the best because it was like, it really was. It was that bridging of the neighborhood, right? Yeah. Like the older gay couples and the gay, like gay quasi gangster dudes and then the real gangsters and the punk rock kids and then the fucking whatever artist kids and
don't leave out the trans.
That was the first time I used to
them trans were gangster in that area too.
Well, in that era the trans movement looked a lot fucking differently, especially in our neighborhood. Like,
ouch.
It was gangster. Yeah. And it was just like, it was so, the makeup was so intense. And here I am from Rhode Island. I'm like, wow, that is an intense look. Like, you look a little bit like the Guido girls I know, the Italian Guido girls I know from Rhode Island, but really intense. And I can't tell what you're doing. What is with the
you don't compliment
the sports
that Guido
gear
girl.
And that hair? Confuse me, But I was like, I remember going there once, and there was like three or four dudes walking, connected by nipple chains, just walking down the street,
getting up.
And I was like, fucking, this neighborhood's amazing. I'm like, what's going on? Like, it was so much fun. It was like, and no one fucked with anybody. No one cared. Like, it was a total thing, and it was free. And then, you know, whatever. Cut to 15 years later, and they had to cancel it because someone was like stealing money or some bullshit. Yeah. Trying to get over on like fucking Isaac Hayes playing live there. It was always so sad. It would just be like more stay in the time. I saw Elliot there. That was the last time I saw Elliot Smith. And he called it.
That's that guy with a guitar, right?
Yeah.
Needle in the hay.
Yeah.
Last year of Sunset Junction, I lived right there because I moved to like right behind. I lived off of Manzanita, like right where the staircase is.
Yeah.
And it was right when Intelligentsia opened. Because I was like, oh, cool. Coffee. Yeah. Oh, great. Mm. Mm-hmm. And wow, I've never paid $18 for a shot of espresso. Yeah. Sorry. It must be better than the $3 espresso.
And wait 9 minutes for it.
Yeah. Sign me up. And they would give wristbands to everybody who lived in the area because the last few years they started charging, and that was why it got shut down, was because the dude like got permits to run this free music festival to bring the community together. And he was like, hey, I'm just going to fucking charge $5 or $10 a wristband, you know, and get over on everybody. That, and then the city got caught wind of it. And they were like, what? Like, you don't have the permits. And then Sunset Junction was done. Yeah. But they would give everybody in the neighborhood wristbands. Like on a Thursday night, you could show up to Tsunami Coffee House where Tupac used to work.
Yeah,
you know?
I remember.
And not like Tupac, not gangster, not, you know.
Oh, Tupac, different Tupac. Tupac. Tsunami.
Tupac from Honduras. Yeah. Great guy.
We're Tupac.
Great human.
Oh, man. Love such him. A good dude. Yeah. Where he used to work, and you would show up there and you would show him your ID or like a power bill or something. Mm-hmm. And they would give you two wristbands for each address.
Money.
And I was like, oh, word, you know? Sorry, I ran to Kinko's, you know, like immediately.
Photoshop.
Yeah, just, you know, photocopy, color photocopy.
I respect you, homie.
And then I got like the double-sided tape, and I just stood outside, and I was like, hey, I got $5 wristbands right here. And first people were like, oh, that's kind of sketchy. But then the line started getting long to like get the wristbands, you know, to buy it. And people were like, oh, fuck that. I saved $5. And then I was like, hey, fuck y'all, $10 wristbands right here. No line, you know. And like made a killing. Yeah, like made a killing.
Awesome. Yeah.
So I'm glad I got mine.
God bless the
hustle. I went when it was free one time, and I went down that weird, some street to the right. Or some alley. I mean, that place was confusing.
Came in through an apartment.
Blood alley.
They had. Yep. There was like a dude selling like fucking water heaters in there. There's like leather fucking straps and like Tom of Finland.
Rough Trade.
Oh, Rough Trade.
But then in the middle of it, there was like a dude selling like, you know, waterless heat tanks. And it's like, wow, this shit ain't gonna last. Like every fucking hobo loser on earth trying to make a fucking buck. And I was like, I remember I went in there. It was
probably fell off a truck.
God, it was a whole thing.
Yeah, that was also, that was an era where Silver Lake still had gay bars.
Yeah.
Like now they have Akbar. And Akbar is only, you know, it's kind of like, depends
like
on the
destination.
Depends on the night. And I'm like, what the hell happened? Like, I guess there's still the Eagle.
The Eagle?
There's still the Eagle.
Shit,
there used to be
that.
A place, my favorite name of any in the hood
right
was always Faultline.
Faultline. Faultline's still there.
Is that still there?
On Melrose.
Faultline.
Faultline's still there, going strong. I went to a Tom
of
Finland.
So it's still a presence.
What's Faultline? Where's that at?
It's like a gay bondage essay.
No, but where is it? Like in the
Santa,
city?
Melrose.
I see a sign.
No. Melrose, just west of Vermont, on the south side of Melrose.
Okay. Because I see a gray wall with like
Faultline chains, like chains going around it. The Faultline. Yeah.
I just got a little worried because I was like, I mean, you know what's happening, right? To L.A., it's like going the fucking way of Manhattan, and we know what's happening, right? Yeah. And it's just like, how can you stem that tide as long as you can? Keep as many fucking boring people out of here as possible. But, like, because when the Black Cat opened, which, you know, like, the place is fine. And I got no beef with that place, of course. But you're like, they literally was like, are they using, like, the gay monument of this that is this place to, like, market, like, we have the new gay double cheeseburger here. You know what I mean? Like, it was like they were
footlongs.
They were marketing this whole thing, and I was like, oh god, it's going to be the Disneyfication of that. Like, what's going on? But Rough Trade still keeps going, and it's like, and it's fun to watch hipsters just like come out of the spice shop or whatever used to be there. I think they moved, but you know, and just be like, whoa, what? Whoa, okay, all right, cool. And it's like, yeah. Remember,
you got to see some shit that jars you, man.
Yeah. And it's getting harder and harder to find in this town.
Go to Fister's Thursday night.
Oh, shit.
Fister's.
The Slammer.
The Slammer?
The Slammer.
I don't know the Slammer.
I tried to park there while going to Mexican Village a few months ago. Was that with, I was going to some party. It wasn't with you.
No.
And
I don't
I was going to Mexican Village, that place on like Virgil and Temple.
Sure.
And I tried to park. There's like their lot was whatever. So we came around the side and I pulled in there. There's a big, like, scary security guard. And we tried to park in there. He goes, hey, private property. And I was like, what is this place? And he goes, private property. And I was like, whoa. And I was like, maybe it's like a weed store or something. Dude, but he looks too
scary. Gay bars are so dope.
So that I type in the thing, the address, you know, because I got to know at this point. The Slammer. Like, you want to see some fucking amazing Ralphie views? Just type in the Slammer. I'm going to look that shit up. Food for thought.
Shout out to bouncers at gay bars, dude. I was at West Hollywood for some Wu-Tang thing. And I went to my car to go get something or do something and come back. And I went to this gay bar in West Hollywood on...
they're all the one bars, that the Hollywood.
And the guy was like, I was like, yeah, so I was outside, I'm coming back, and he's like, you weren't here. And I'm like, what you talking about? Wu-Tang. He's like, this is not your club, homie. And I'm like, what are you talking about? I was just here. And he opens the door, and it was like an amazing, like, rave. It was definitely like
dudes.
A sick
dancing. Gay bar. I was like, not a shirt in the club.
Yeah, I was like, good looking out. I gotta go look for where I was at. I just like how they were just like, yeah, you weren't here. And like, they were just like, open the portal. Ah, it's a world happening that I'm not here for.
Oh, that's a submarine.
Let me go. And it's happened like more than once where like bouncers are like, yeah, you stop.
They don't stop me. They're like, oh, come on.
Come on. Yeah, sick. Yeah. Oh, it's Rough Trade night.
Nice twink. Oh, they're going to eat you up alive.
Runaway night.
Runaway night.
Oh, my God.
You ever seen Andy Dick out in town with his Florida runaways in tow?
Oh, yeah.
It's great. It looks like the first season of Cops in Florida. It's unbelievable. You're like, wow, I didn't know people had rat tails anymore.
Yeah.
That's real Florida shit.
Yeah. I've been to his house. Fuck.
Ooh.
Dark.
Yeah.
Dark place. There was a sign when you walked in that was like, apartment. I think I've told you. It was like apartment, whatever, 112. No visitors allowed, like downstairs in the fucking building on Wilcox and whatever, you know? And it was like, I was like, oh, I hope we're not going to unit 112. We were. Yeah, we were.
I got in a club once because, like, I was waiting to get in somewhere. I was, like, walk past the line trying to, like, I'm here for the party to get my way in. And Andy, it was Hotel Cafe. Fucking Andy Dick walks in and everyone's like, oh my god, Andy Dick. And I'm like, who gives a fuck? And Scary's like, you in.
Hotel Cafe. Yeah, that place is banging.
Oh man.
He did all my coconut after hours. That's all I knew. I was like, what are you doing? I'm like, you're on a fucking TV show. I'm a zero. And I bought this Coke with the last $25 I had. And you're doing all of it. And he's like, I'll get some. I'm like, no, you won't.
No, you won't.
You just did that other person's Coke. I'm like, you're on that show. It was News TV or Talk TV, Talk Radio. What the
News
hell?
Radio, maybe?
News Radio.
Fuck,
Jesus.
I don't even watch TV.
And I was like, News Radio.
Yeah.
And I was like, you got to be doing well. You got to be making some good money. I'm like, you could go buy some of that and, you know, and bring it over. And he didn't like that.
He's like, listen, mister, just keep peeing in my mouth while I do your Coke.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. To which I replied, well, whatever you say, you are the star.
Damn, man.
Yeah. All right, guys, I got to go hit the
word.
Freeway.
Lovely.
Yeah.
Thanks for having us, man.
Thank you, Charlie, for everything.
Yes.
Charlie, good luck editing this.
Thank you. Shout out to Helicopters.
Thanks, guys.
Yes. Yeah, that was good. Yeah.
Dude, thanks, Chris. Thanks, Tokes.
Wait, I didn't even say anything with that.
All right, that is the end of another episode of It's All Bad. We thank you for listening. We invite you to follow us on Instagram at It Is All Bad, because we couldn't get It's All Bad, so we got It Is All Bad. And
who has It's All Bad?
I don't know. Find that person.
Yeah, and send them to they us. Are.
Yeah, if you're out there,
if you're out there,
fuck you.
It's on. Come at me, bro. And that's it. And you know, let us know through DM or through email at itisallbadpodcast@gmail.com. itisallbadpodcast@gmail.com. If you want to be on the show, if you know someone who should be on the show, if you have a story you'd like to share, or if you just have questions about Charlie's personal life. So
he'll gladly answer.
He'll gladly answer at any hour of the day. All right. Thanks again for listening. Have a good rest of your night.
Or day.
Or day. Listen.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Not the boss of
me. Have a good one.
Have a good one.
Have a good one.